Morning, everyone. I think maybe we should get started. Thanks for all of you guys taking time off to join us this morning. As you guys are well aware, we have a bit of a problem nowadays with thrips on the mangoes. And at the last board meeting, I was asked to put something together so that we can maybe have a chat about this and maybe just get a bit more information. Regarding the pest and everything, and the control measures as we are battling to keep it under control, especially in the Hoedspruit area. So this is not a formal meeting. I would like to, if we can interact, maybe a question and answer base. But just to give a bit of structure, first of all, I've asked Dr. Tim Grout from CRI just to give us a bit of background on a bit of the life cycle of thrips and the species that are involved and what we are looking at. So, if we can start with that. As you can see, I'm recording the session. Dr. Tim, if you can maybe start us off, it would be great. Thanks.
Okay, morning everyone. You hear me okay?
Yes, thank
We can
you.
hear you. Good morning,
Yes.
Doctor.
Okay, great. Thanks for the invite and the introduction, Andre. As you all know, my background is citrus, so I'll leave the finer details on mangoes to the rest of the people in the meeting. But just some basic info on thrips. The eggs are laid in soft tissue. Usually they're attracted to new growth. And depending on the fruit types, perhaps in the fruits or in the calyx of a fruit in the citrus example. The new hatched larvae only survive a couple of days. So they remain pretty white and they don't feed much because they're so small. The second instar larva is the one that does most of the feeding damage, and it can change color from white to a straw color as it gets older. And in the case of citrus thrips, when there's the second instar is a few days old, perhaps 4 days old, it will start moving towards a darker or sheltered place, moving away from the light. So citrus thrips primarily prefers the sunlight, and they are only active from about 14 degrees up to about high 30s. So they'll be on the sunny fruits in the sun and on the outside of the tree. But with the late second instar, it moves out of the sun to find somewhere to pupate. And if it finds a suitable place to pupate, it will stop there. Otherwise, it moves further into the middle of the tree. And if it doesn't find a suitable place, it'll drop to the ground. So there's been some debate over how many thrips pupate in the soil and how many pupate in the tree. It ranges from early work in the 1930s, which said that they all pupate in the tree, to some of the work of Eric Bedford's, which indicated that most of them pupate in the soil. Actually, it depends a lot on the size of the tree, the microclimate, and if what the bark is like. So mangoes very smooth, only bark on say larger branches. So perhaps a lot of them would drop to the ground. With large citrus trees, you can even find them under the calyx sometimes. They might maybe pupate right on the fruit. So that is does affect management over the years. Some people have tried to spray pesticides on the ground to kill those that are pupating on the soil. But usually there's enough surviving in the tree or moving in from somewhere else that doesn't give very good control. So unlike insects like butterflies or beetles that have a proper pupal stage, thrips have a pre-pupal stage, which lasts a couple of days, and then a pupal stage. But both of them can move slightly if you prod them. So they're resting stages, they don't feed, but they can move a little bit. So they're not totally immobile. And then you have males and females, and the male is up to about 0.7 of a millimeter long. The female's a little bit bigger, about 1 millimeter. And those are the mobile stages. So as far as moving from crop to crop, it's only the adult females that will perhaps move to another crop and then lay eggs in that new crop. So the second instar does most of the feeding. The adults do feed a bit, but they're much more active. So their damage might be more in the form of stippling and not so much the sort of big scar that you'd see where the larvae stay in one place for a long time. The citrus thrips doesn't really feed on pollen, but it is attracted to nectar. So sometimes after petal fall in citrus, when there's nectar around, they'll feed on the nectar. And that's why sugar works as an attractant for a bait. Unlike flower thrips that are attracted to pollen in the flowers and don't really feed on the plant tissue, but they can cause damage with overposition. So sometimes in soft fruit like peaches, you'll get something like a pansy spot, they refer to, where the thrips has tried to lay an egg in the fruit, and then you get what looks like a flower type of blemish where it's punctured the fruit. But we haven't seen that in citrus thrips. So primarily we're talking about feeding damage there. And thrips order is a very varied order, with some thrips attracted to different chemicals. And the citrus thrips seems to be attracted to highly aromatic plants. So something like mangoes and citrus both have terpenes that have quite an aromatic smell. And so it can detoxify these chemicals, and it also makes it predisposed towards detoxifying insecticides. So thrips are known to get resistance to chemicals quite quickly. And so far with citrus thrips, we found that it's an unstable type of resistance. So that if you move between different chemical groups, then you can manage the resistance as long as you don't spray the same chemical two or three times in a row. So the problem is where you use a different chemical, for a different pest, like say a pyrethroid being used for a stink bug or something like that, then the thrips, then that residue is on the tree and the thrips is also exposed to it. So even though you're not applying it for the thrips, they can become resistant because of the chemicals being used for other pests. Okay, I think that'll do for a general introduction, and we can look at some specifics later on. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any questions at this stage, or can we move on for now?
Andre, I've got a few questions, but maybe let's just do the introductions as you have mentioned, and then we can come back to the questions if you don't mind.
Okay, thanks, Jaco.
Right, I've just got two things that I just quickly want to, in the beginning of the meeting, that I just want to say some thanks. Thanks to you, Andrei, for setting up this meeting. I think it's in the mango industry long overdue. We needed it quite urgently. We've seen some trends in the mango industry. Maybe for the, not for the farmers, but maybe more for the researchers, for Tim and Darcia and Marina. Just a bit of background on the mango thrips history in Hoedspruit. Many of us have been farming here for about 20 and more odd years. When we started farming here, we had a lot of success with just a normal 25 gram of lanite. That's it. We didn't add any additives or sugar or feeder or anything of those chemicals. And for many, many years, we would probably go in with just 25 grams of lanite and we could sort out the thrips. And it would, and in most instances, it would be all well. I would say over the last 6-7 years, we tend to start struggling with the lanite. We would spray a lanite and maybe between 7 and 10 days later, we would get again some incursions of thrips, and the growers would then, in most instances, go to something like a Dicarzol and sugar. And that was quite a huge success for 3 or 4 years, and the guys were happy with it. The guys that sprayed fipronil, they've always had success, but it's incredibly, you have to get your logistics correct, because we all introduce beehives now to our mango orchards. So the planning had to be very, very accurate, not to kill off all the hives. So the guys had to remove the hives, spray the fipronil. The problem with the fipronil, and there's numerous growers still that's struggling up to today with the effect of mealybug that came in as a repercussion. Also in our farm, I had the experience. I've never sprayed Regen in our farm for the last 18 years. And 2 years ago, I just sprayed 4 orchards just to see the effect of fipronil, and we had huge repercussions on the thrips. Last season was probably the worst season in the mango industry in Hoedspruit in terms of thrips. We had enormous amounts of thrips. So last year, the growers experimented on their own on different chemicals. On our farm, I've always been very comfortable with the 25 gram lanite. And last year, it seemed as if it had zero effect. So I thought, okay, I'll go in after the lanite on certain blocks with a Tartox and sugar and Tartox and feeder. I think the levels were already too high. We didn't have any success. We also opted to spray some of the orchards with Delegate. We tested Delegate, very poor effect. And then we went to more expensive options, Tracer. I was always being told by the chemical representatives that Tracer is the most expensive and the last resort. We sprayed Tracer and no success. Ultimately, we ended up again with Dicarzol and sugar or Dicarzol and feeder. And not as good as in the previous seasons. I think one thing that has changed over the last 10 years in Hoedspruit is that there were a lot of farmers that were just mango farmers, and many of these farmers, including ourselves, are now starting to introduce citrus orchards, lemons, narkis, and oranges and grapefruit into our farms. I don't know if there's a correlation with that. But at the moment, I think if one looks at the research priorities, thrips was never a priority on any research meetings for the staff involved with the mango industry, and it actually jumped from being nowhere on a research priority to number one in one season. So we are experiencing serious problems with it. There has been a lot of remarks on mango fruit is not that sensitive. You can polish the damage out in a pack out. It's not true. We've monitored 4 cultivars last year where we calculated or evaluated and calculated the percentage of thrips damage on small fruits. on the variety. For example, Tommy Atkins, we marked 100 fruit and determined the percentage of damage, which varied between, let's say, 5% and 40%. We only harvested 2 fruit out of the 100. On the cultivar Java, we also marked 100 fruit that had severe thrips damage. We harvested 0. So I think in terms of damage, no, you can't polish it out at the packhouse. If it's damaged to a certain degree, it's gone. It just becomes a processing fruit. And secondly, I think we maybe are underestimating the impact that thrips can have on fruit drop. My last comment is we've always been told that the Western flower thrip that we find in the flowers are not damaging our fruit and our flowers, and it's only the citrus thrip. Thank you, Andre. I think that's a bit of background on the Hoedspruit area. I think, you can, if there's Hoedspruit farmers present here, they can maybe add to my comments.
Thanks, Jaco. Yes, I managed to get Tasha. I've got her on a WhatsApp call. She's battling to hear us through the computer. So we're going to work it like that through my phone. So Tasha, if you can go ahead, then we'll see if this is clear enough.
Andre, I'll give a bit of a background about the work I've done. We first of all, in the flowers, there's a complex of thrip species. And the important species is Thrips tenalis. But Thrips tenalis does not cause damage. It's as soon as your fruit starts setting that you get damaged by the citrus thrips. In my experience, the citrus thrip cause lesions to the fruit. And usually if your fruit is very small, just after fruit set and you get high numbers, the damage is more severe than when you get high numbers later in the season. And the damage is more prominent on red skin cultivars, but it also damages green skin cultivars. If you get that the whole fruit is covered with lesions, you sometimes get that the fruit starts cracking and then the fruit will drop. But if there's only a few scars on the fruit, you don't get fruit drop. And the lesions on the fruit are decrease a bit in prominence as the fruit mature. So you'll still see the lesions at the end of the season, but it's not so prominent. And then what I also want to mention is we correlated the number of thrips with fruit size. And we found that the fruit will the thrips numbers will be increase, and then that there will be a turning point, and then the thrips numbers will decrease. Now that turning point we determined is when the fruit is between 20 millimeters and 40 millimeters. So you'll get an increase in thrips number, and then they'll start naturally to decrease. And that maximum number will be between 20 millimeters and 40 millimeters. We also calculated cumulative insect days, and we correlated that with the fruit unacceptable for export at the end of the season. So we have that figures available. We also tested various products. We tested various products, but the best results that we obtained were with fipronil and with dicarsol. But we know that because of fipronil cause pest repercussions, so that is not ideally. And Akuna, my colleague, will do a project this year and test various products. so he can discuss the products that he's planning to taste this season.
Dasha, is he going to go through the products now?
No, he can go through the products.
I see that you're...
Go through the products that we plan to taste the season.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, all right. The trial that we're gonna conduct on testing assessment alternative products for citrus thrip control on mango, we will test 10 products, but the one product, which is fipronil, will be our standard reference, and then we will have as well an untreated control. The 8 products that we will then be testing for their effectiveness, maybe to control thrips, will include XRL mixed with mineral oil, Eligate, Handa, Macromectin, Lanate, Tracer, as well as Decazole. We will also include Lavanem, which is an entomopathogenetic nematode product, yes, to test it also, if its effectiveness against the citrus thrips, yes. And then the trial will commence in September, yes, beginning September. I think that's it, Andre, on my side for now.
Thank you very much, Akona. Yaku, I see that you're online. Have you got something to ask?
Yeah, Andre, I think if we are at the position that we can ask questions, I've got one or two to the specialists.
Yes, please go ahead.
The first question is, if the thrips are on citrus now, if they are attracted by the sweetness of the nectar, and if I look at the literature, the nectar seems to be at a Brix of about 32. I'm not aware what the Brix is on mangoes, but the Brix, for example, on avocados and lychees is above 90 and then above 100. If the thrips are attracted by the nectar and we are spraying something like feeder or sugar, should we try and create a solution of chemical where our attractant is sweeter than the nectar? Would that assist in the culling of the thrips?
Yaku, are you directing the question at?
No, I think maybe at Tim and maybe at Tim or any of the thrip specialists. I think there's about 3 or 4 of them on the panel. So, if any of them can comment on it, So just in short, can we create a attractant with feeder or with sugar that we can create a higher Brix? Would that assist us to get more attractant towards the chemicals?
Yaku, I can comment on that. It depends what it's competing with. So it's not going to work that well while there's nectar around, because there's other sources. So later in the season, when there's no other sugar sources, it works at the lower rate. But in California, they were using a botanical for a while called Sabadilla, and it contains alkaloids. So it's the R citrus thrips doesn't feed on it as much as say it would tartaromatic or something else. And with that product, we had to use about 1 kilo of sugar instead of say 200 grams or 400 grams per 100 liters to get it to work as a bait. And occasionally with that high rate of sugar, we would get problems with sooty mold growing on the sugar residues. So that could be a problem if you increase the concentration too much. You might start getting sooty mold, especially in, say, shady areas inside the tree.
Thanks, Tim. And maybe a second question, Andre, if you will allow me. There's a lot of I don't want to say controversy, but let's say rather say it's speculation. Is it a high density? Is it a medium cover spray? Is it a high cover spray? Is it a low cover spray? We've always been spraying, because mangoes bear their flowers on the periphery. It's quite easy to spray the flowers, and the fruit is also on the periphery. So we would normally spray, let's say, anything from 750 to 1,400 liters per hectare, and that would be considered a light cover spray in mangoes, depending on tree size. Last year, we compared between two growers. We went for the 750 liters per hectare on with Dicarzol and sugar, and another grower sprayed 2 to 3,000 liters, which would, in the instance of mangoes, be considered medium to high volume spray. And they had better success than us that did the light cover spray. Is there any correlation to that, or is it maybe just by chance that he had better success due to something else?
So, Andre, I can comment there. As I mentioned, Thrips is very much attracted to the sunny parts of the tree and the outside. So your application should be perfect. With a bait, I would go so far as saying that you don't even need light cover. So if you're spraying something like XRL or a contact like fipronil, then you need the cover because it's a contact toxin. But with sugar, you attracting the thrips to the droplet of sugar, so your coverage doesn't have to be as high as with a proper light cover spray. So with a bait spray, you can use a machine that just has a boom with nozzles. It doesn't have to have any wind, and you're just putting the sugar bait on the outside of the tree. That should be adequate, unless your trees are very open and you've got fruit inside the tree that is getting scarred and you're not getting the bait in there. Then that higher volume might help for scarring inside the tree. The problem with spraying a higher volume with a product like fipronil, as you've mentioned, you can get repercussions. And fipronil is very stable out of the sunlight. That's why they use it these days in building and stuff like that for termites. If you put it out of the sun, it lasts a very long time. So if you spray a high volume thrips spray and it's going onto the bark inside the tree, then your repercussions will last for a very long time.
Andre, can I also say something? I think the mango trees usually have fruit on the outside. Unless you have a lot of fruit in the inside of your tree, then you can maybe use a higher volume, but the fruits will be in the sun on the outside fruit. And we don't get a lot of inside fruit in mango trees. But if you do get a lot of inside fruit, then you see there's a lot of fruits on the fruit in the inside, then you use a higher volume.
Dashan, Tim, can one use fipronil with sugar or feeder as an attractant and try and get the volumes of the fipronil less, and maybe having a less chance of getting repercussions? Or is it not recommended to add a sugar or a feeder to fipronil sprays?
Yeah, it's never been in the development days of fipronil. It was never considered, bait was not considered an option. So it was pretty much a contact spray. The problem with adding sugar to anything is that you then attract natural enemies that also want to feed on the sugar. So although it wouldn't last as long outside, as soon as you put sugar with it, then the parasites will feed on the sugar as well. So you'll get some impact, but it won't on the natural enemies, but it won't be as long as the cover spray going into the tree. But yeah, I haven't seen results of fipronil with sugar.
Thank you, Tim.
Adrai, if you don't mind, I would just like to add three things. Yaku, the first thing is I agree with you in terms of the citrus causing more and more problems with the thrips in mangoes. In our area, there's very little citrus. And although we do get a lot of damage because of thrips, over the last few years, you know, the problem has not gotten worse. We do have a big problem, but at least it hasn't gotten worse. Yaku, that's the one thing. Andrei, then the other two things I would just mention, would like to mention to Tertia and Icona is, Tertia, you just mentioned that you get the most amount of damage on the mangoes with a red skin. I know you guys do a lot of work around wood spray, but I can promise you our biggest problem that we get, the cultivar that we get the most problem on is keet. Now, keet is green-skinned, so I'm not sure exactly what's the reason for that. I mean, we've got keets, we've got Joa, we've got Tommy's, and year for year, the biggest problem we have is on the keet, on the green-skinned mangoes. I'm not sure what the reason is for that. Tasha, just the other thing, I heard Icona said you guys are going to start with your project beginning of September. What I've seen over the last few years in our area, on our farm, is as soon as that first heat wave comes, normally about mid-August, you're talking about between the 15th and maybe the 20th of August, as soon as that temperature goes above, let's say 31, 32 degrees for more than 3 days, we start to really get a bang in the population of thrips, and then we start to get a lot of damage on our flowers because of thrips. So I'm not sure, perhaps you guys are starting September. Maybe you should just adjust your date, perhaps. Yaku, I'm not sure if you agree with me on that.
Andrei, Peter, we've never done the correlation with the temperatures. The trend that we more seem to find more was that from around week 37. So it seemed to us that it was more based on a calendar basis. So week 37 would start building up, week 38, week 39. Week 39 would always be our difficult week. Normally before week 36, 35, 34, we wouldn't have that problem. I'm not sure. I think we're now in week 32 or week 33 of the year, but and it's already very hot in Hoedspruit. We've got a little bit of fruit set. I haven't actually looked at any damage or thrips present there. But it's hot already, and we've got citrus that is flowering, and the numbers are very low at the moment, even on the citrus on our farm.
Yes, Yaku. What I've also noticed this year, our mangoes is a little late. Normally by this time, by the 19th, 20th of August, especially the Tommy's and the Keet, you know, they're very close to almost completely full of flowers. And this year we are a little bit late. So maybe we've in the past, I know that last week of August normally is when we start to get a problem. And then of course the later you go into September, we do use fipronil, and we do only one application of fipronil. We do that the last week of September, and by that stage we really do have a massive problem in some of our blocks.
Yeah, Peter, I think the trend that we've seen here is when we had early flowering throughout all the years, two things happens with early flowering: we get good fruit set and we miss the thrip damage. I see Flip Root is on the panel as well this morning. And I don't want to speak on his behalf, but he's probably the latest producer in Hoedspruit. and probably also struggles the most with thrips in its threat areas. So I don't know if there's a correlation in time of the season and so on, but yeah, I'll leave over to you. You can maybe comment on it.
I mean, and every year we've seen, especially the last 3 years, I think we are a bit later, sometimes 2 weeks later than the rest of the Oostveld area because of our low-lying farm. But we found that most of the guys that would do one or two sprays, we started early because we start seeing it early, but the pressure comes much later, about 2 weeks later than the rest of your Oostveld. And in the past, I know the guy said to him, there's a golf ball size bigger, no thrips damage. And I don't know, what I've seen is that if there's enough thrips on the fruit and in the trees, it does have an effect and we see the damage. And I think that same goes for citrus. I've spoken to some of the guys and they said, no, they don't stop spraying when their near recommendation is off the certain states, they don't get damaged. A lot of guys say they still record damage on citrus, also on later fruit that's bigger already. Now, that's what we find in our farm. You get a lighter damage. You don't get that misformed fruit or the very, very scarred fruit, but a light, it's almost like sandpaper. But when you don't get this going to an effect there by you, Yaku, you can't color, you can't shine those through. You can't put wax on it and have the same quality shine as a non-damaged fruit. But that's what we found on our farm, which is about 2 weeks later than Oostveld. There is the Oostveld. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you, Flip. I've talked to you a lot about it. And yeah, I think you battle a little bit more than us with the thrips. I don't know, Andre, I think there has been some work done with, let's say, the more organic and environmental friendly approach. If there are any comments from those attendees. I had a organic section at Bavaria Fruit Estate that I took from conventional to full organic certification on mangoes. And I can tell you, and those year strips was not a big issue, but we imported pyrethroids from mid-Africa. We imported neem oil from India and used locally manufactured organic pesticides, and the thrips just laughed at us. We couldn't terminate them. So I don't know. We as farmers sometimes wish we could just have a chemical that will work and it will be all sorted out. But I think over the past years we farmed ourselves into a situation that is not the situation anymore. Fipronil is the only one that is sort of the solution, but that's not the route that many farmers still want to continue with. And none of the other ones are as effective. So maybe it's a combination approach, or maybe we have to completely change our way of thinking and controlling this. Thank you, Andre.
Thanks, Jaco. Is there maybe anybody that can comment on that?
Andre, I would first like to say something about the damage and when do you get a lot of thrips damage. What I observed in the past, the more uneven your flowering is, the more of a thrips problem you will have, because you will have a build-up on the fruit that set early, and by the time you get fruit that set later, you get more damage on the fruit that set later. And also, if maybe you have an early cultivar that flowers early and then a cultivar that flowers a bit later, then you usually get more damage on the cultivar that flowers later, because there will already be some thrips in the area that build up, and by the time the light flowers is there and the fruit starts setting, you get more damage. And I just want to clarify and say that where you have red skin cultivars, the lesions are more prominent, it doesn't mean that there's more of a damage on the red skin cultivars, but the lesions are more prominent. And then I can also mention that we've tested in the past, we use kaolin together with sulfur as an organic treatment. The problem was not that they had problems washing off the kaolin in the pack house, but that gave good results for thrips control as well as some of the other pests.
Thank you, Tasha. Is there anybody else needs that likes to comment maybe on the biologicals? There's nothing. It's maybe just if there's some questions, anybody has got maybe a question for the researchers or somebody else?
Andre, just a question to Tasha that them. Is it true that 80% of the thrips go into the ground to stay there until a fruit or a flowering time? And if so, is it something we can do controlling it either biological or chemically on the ground underneath the trees so that we don't have that infestation when it starts getting warmer and flowering time?
Andre, can you just repeat the question?
And Tasha, okay. Flip, do you want to just maybe say again?
Now, what the entomologist said to us at one of the meetings I attended is that in the stages of eggs and nymph, and before the flowering of the mango start and the temperatures start getting warmer, 80% of the thrips goes to the ground before they hatch and come out. Is that a fact or not? And can we not then start controlling it on the ground instead of waiting for it to come out and then try and fight them? Just to start with a lower infestation. I don't know if there is anything like that or you're doing any research on that.
Maybe we must ask them if he's tested any products to control the thrips on the ground. I know they use, we want to try nematodes this season, but we can also ask them about his experience.
Yeah, no, we haven't been trying to control thrips on the ground. Because they're only there for a short period of time. So it's not like a diapause where they all wait in the soil for like 3 months before the next season starts. They're still only going to survive in the soil for maybe a week or so. So what happens is you get thrips developing through the winter months on little bits of growth flush here and there. So in citrus, the biggest or the worst years with thrips is where you get late rains that cause an extra growth flush, perhaps in April or May. And the thrips then suddenly increases on that growth flush. And then you have larger numbers surviving through the winter months on growth here and there. And then have much more numbers at petal fall. We advocate treating the pre-blossom flush. So in citrus, we get a growth of the leaves a few weeks before the blossoms open. So we recommend if people spray that for thrips so that the thrips doesn't build up on that flush before flowering, then it's much easier to control it when it's likely to cause damage to the fruit later on. So citrus thrips is very much connected to when you have growth flushes. So also some of the different comments about the timing or getting later damage and that sort of thing might also be related to what sort of growth flush you have. If you have another growth flush in November, then the thrips can build up on that. And then once the leaves harden off, they move on to the fruit. So then you could suddenly get high numbers on the fruit that weren't noticeable a few weeks before. So the foliage can influence the numbers that are moving onto the fruit, more so than what's coming up from the soil. So that's my opinion anyway. Thanks.
Flip, does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you, Andre. It's clear. Thank you.
Is there anybody else that would like to direct a question at someone, please?
I would just like to ask a question about the chemical I've heard people using in blueberries with quite good success. And it is it's tokithion. I don't know if anybody used it on the mangoes before. It is to control thrips. So I would just like to know if somebody used it and did they receive any success from it?
Andre, from my side, tokithion were used in the past, but not for thrips control. It was we used it for mango weevil and also to a degree for mango scale. But I'm not sure. I don't think anybody has tested it for, as far as I know, has tested it for thrips control on mangoes.
Okay, thanks, Jaco. And then another question I would like to ask is there a difference between the results people getting from Dicarsol and Saker and Dicarsol and Feeder? Is there a clear difference between the two, or is it correlation to the same result?
If there's no Gifsmosa on this panel, I would like to say, or I think, it seemed to me we increased the number of thrips by using feeder instead of decreasing it. But I mean, that's just a wild observation. It seemed as if we had better results with sugar than with feeder.
Okay, thanks, Jaco. Yeah, I've heard the same stories from other people as well. I'm not going to say names, but they said that from the scout results, they could see a better result using sugar instead of feeder. But yeah, it hasn't been proven of just the general reports on the scouting.
I can maybe just comment on the tokithion. In citrus, it was quite a popular option for mealybug and citrus thrips, but it has MRL problems on citrus. So perhaps that is a similar problem with mangoes. The overseas MRLs changed and we can only use it, say, up to 50% petal fall or something now.
I think, Tim, at the time when we used tokithion, there wasn't a thing like MRL. It was quite a long time ago.
Okay. It wouldn't have lasted as long as fipronil, put it that way. But it would have more impact than, say, a delegate or a tracer.
Is there anything else that anybody would like to add? or maybe ask? If we can maybe just come back to the trial that we are planning now, that's going to start in September now. Maybe a comment or two on the products that has been suggested, or maybe recommendation or something from someone. Is there no questions? I see people are.
Yeah, I can comment on some of the ones that I made a note of. They're very different. So biologicals, I don't know if they're mentioned other than the nematodes. The problem with the thrips being in the mostly causing most damage in the fruit that's in the sun is the UV breakdown of the entomopathogenic fungi. So Metarhizium and Bavaria products for thrips don't give much control in the tree. They might help if you spray them on the soil under the tree within the shade, but not so much on the tree. And the other thing is there's the longer lasting residual product like the fipronil, that was probably the longest lasting as the ones you mentioned. The better it controls the thrips, the more repercussions it'll cause, because it'll also control the parasitoids for the same period of time. So that's always the sort of catch 22 of the best thrips treatments will give you the most repercussions. Xarel doesn't have a great contact. It doesn't cause like immediate knockdown. So that's maybe something better for later in the season, or with lower numbers of thrips. So it'll work as a, maybe a, when you're more worried about it, getting towards that golf ball stage or a bit later than not when the fruit is very small. Delegate will cause more of a impact on parasitoids than tracer, but it'll give you maybe a week longer control. And Dicazole is a carbamate, the same as lanate. So as Andre mentioned, if lanate didn't work, then Dicazole most likely won't work because it's the same chemical group. I haven't seen any mention of people talking about Hunter, which is another insecticide group that's also harsh, not quite as harsh as fipronil, and it doesn't last quite as long, but it can be useful if something's not working. Then early in the season, that's an alternative. Chlorpheniper is the active ingredient. Yeah, don't have any other comments. You're not proposing to use any pyrethroids for thrips, are you?
Dasha, if you maybe can comment.
No, I don't think we're
tasting any of them, yeah. Okay, well, that's good. Because I think that's the trouble that they have with the macadamias, is using pyrethroids for stink bugs. And then the thrips becomes resistant to them, and then they move on to other crops.
Andre, if I can maybe come in here, Tim, when and this was quite a few years ago, depending on where you are in Hoedspruit, we seem to have certain areas with massive resistance to pyrethroids. I was responsible for the citrus section at Bavaria, and we were spraying, it was quite a few years ago, and we were spraying Klartan, and we didn't get any results on thrips control, whereas in those days it was Kevin Lang, which was still there at Groblersdal area. They were getting 7 to 11 days with control. And the reason behind it was because of years on end, the spraying in certain areas on Saker Millis with pyrethroids. So there's definitely patches where there's, I don't know if it's been sorted out or it's still there or prevalent, but we had patches that we could not spray a pyrethroid for the control of thrips. So that was on citrus. We've had success in a mango nursery, but all the chemicals are successful in the nursery. But I'm a little bit doubtful as to the success in orchards, because there are, I think there's a lot of resistance for it again, or the resistance in against pyrethroids.
Yeah, that a few years ago there was a very similar situation in Burgersfort, where they also had mealies next to their citrus, and they had resistance to dicazol, pyrethroids, and some other product that they used. Eventually, Hunter was the only thing they could use. So then they used that for two or three seasons, and then they had mealybug problems. Okay.
Tim, I have a question. Let's say, for example, we have a problem now with lanite and probably some dicazol resistance. First question is, we were using a 25-gram lanite. If we go to a 50 or 100-gram lanite, that still won't solve the problem, because the problem is still there, that it's resistant to that chemical group.
Yes, correct. And it's probably a resistance to carbamates, not just lanite. So if you went to 50 grams, you'd get a bit of control, but then you'd select for the few that were really resistant. So then the next time you use it, you would get no control at all. So that is the case. But if you were to use other products that weren't carbamates, so say you used XRL or Delegate or something else, and then next year you tried a carbamate, then it would probably work the first time, until the few survivors and the resistant ones in the population would survive and then build up again. So just increasing the concentration will probably not solve the problem.
Thank you, Tim. Yeah, Jaco phoned me just now. They're having problems with the electricity there in Hoedspruit. That's why all the guys disappeared. So they're probably starting generators, or maybe the power just got back on, because I see Jaco is off again. If we maybe just give him a second to see if he was coming back. Is there anything else from the guys that are still on?
Nothing from my side. Thank you, André.
Thanks, Peter. Reynold, I don't know if you want to maybe comment on something. How's it looking down there in Unnaberg?
Hello, André. Yes, good morning all. Our flowers are a bit late, as you said, as Peter also said. I flew over the area, so it's a bit late in the whole area. However, there are some trees with full developed flowers. So I haven't seen any thrips, even another flower, because our flowers are not developed yet. However, one thing, considering, I think Flip referred to it, is with a high thrip infestation on the flowers, however, you say there's no damage that's been done. Is it an indication of citrus thrips later on the fruit? Or will it give you an indication of the what the problem would be later on? And or are there any other thrips that do damage on flowers?
Tim, can you maybe comment on that?
I was waiting for Tertia to say something. Okay. But no, I don't think, well, as I say, I don't know mangoes, but flower thrips, I don't think would have any association with citrus thrips. They may be able to tolerate cooler temperatures than citrus thrips, but generally in citrus, the citrus thrips will increase after the flower thrips. But there won't be an association with, if it's a bad flower thrips year, then it's going to be a bad citrus thrips year. It's more dependent on the overwintering populations, what's available.
Thanks, Tim. Tertia, have you got maybe something to add there?
Yeah, usually in the flower period, you don't get high numbers of citrus fruits. The moment the fruit are starting to set, then your citrus fruit numbers will increase. You really don't get high citrus fruit number in the flowers. And I don't think the other fruits really cause damage to the mango fruit. Maybe if you get very high numbers of citrus fruits in the flowers, there might be a problem, but we don't see it. We don't see that because your fruit numbers will increase after fruit setting.
Thanks, Tasha. Is there, Jaco, have you got something?
Yeah, sorry, I was thrown off again by Eskom on this side. And maybe they did hear the answer or the question, and maybe they did even answer. My question was, we probably now have resistance to lanate on the thrips. Would a higher concentration, like a 50 gram or 100 gram, would that be the solution? And if not, how long will the resistance prevail, let's say, on our farm? Is it a one season? Is it more than one season? Does one have to come and test it, spray again next year and see if there's a result with lanate? Or if we don't have control now with lanate and dicarzol, is that it? And we have to completely move away from it for many years.
Hi, Yoko. What I said was just increasing the concentration won't help, because you just select for those that are most resistant. But only using one of those two products would be better. So use another alternative to the lanates, or what's it, something that's not in the same carbamate group as lanate and dicarzol. But what we found with the populations in citrus is that when you use different chemicals, if you're going to be spraying other pests with other chemical groups other times of the year, or you use other chemicals for thrips, and then you use dicarzol once the next year, then it'll most likely work, but not two in a row. So when you spray that one that looks like it works, it'll only control, say, 90% of the population. And then the 10% that survive will be resistant. And then if you spray a second spray of lanate or dicarzol, then it won't work. So we haven't found a sort of like a permanent resistance. So there's obviously a factor that it costs the thrips in some way to be resistant. So as soon as you take away the selection pressure, it declines, the resistance declines in the population. So it's not like a dominant gene that will then remain for the next 10 years. So that's where the managing it with different groups definitely works with citrus thrips, whereas something like California red scale on citrus, once it's resistant to organophosphates, then you can forget it. For that orchard for the next 50 years, it's going to be resistant.
Thank you, Tom.
Anybody else got something on their mind? No more questions, no more suggestions.
Andre, I'm worried that we still don't know what we have to spray this season.
Yeah, now I hear you, Jaco. Tersha, have you maybe got something to say? Putting you on the spot here, sorry.
You're passing the buck backwards and forwards here. Well, I'm not familiar with what all you've got registered on mangoes, but is it, you say already some people have got flowering already. What is the status of your new growth? Is it already half expanded, or is it hardened off already when you got flowers, or is there still new growth before the flowers?
Tim, the normal phenology of the mango tree is that we would go into flowering now, and you go through different flower stages, and then it's just a very big open flower, and then going into fruit state. There's, I would say, more than 90% the chances are there that there will not be any growth flush. A growth flush normally only starts, let's say, end of September, October. So growth flush, they won't. Okay, this is maybe a different season. We do see some growth flush, but if you've got good flowering, the chances are minimal to zero that you will actually find new growth and new leaves on the trees. So the focus of the thrips is basically to go to the flowers. We've tried last year to start off with in some orchards with a softer option with the tartox and sugar, and it didn't seem to last that long. We would scout the next week, and the numbers would just pick up, and the numbers would just will just pick up. I agree. One of the people.
Hello,
Jaco, can you still hear us? Maybe he's got a internet problem or ESCOM problem again.
Okay, but if that's the case, if you don't have new growth before the flowers, then the technique of trying to get the numbers down in the winter is doesn't make as much sense as it does in citrus. But that the growth flush you get, say late September, then the thrips might increase on that and then go back to the fruit in October. So it's perhaps worthwhile seeing whether you're getting thrips damage on the new growth when it does come out, because they'll build up there and then go to the fruit.
Thanks, Tim.
I think another comment to the Tartar Emetic plus sugar soon after blossom is probably not going to work, because the numbers, as you said before, with the temperatures rising, the numbers increase rapidly. And there might be a bit of nectar around that the sugar with the Tartar Emetic is competing with. So you wouldn't get a knockdown with that. So soon after petal fall, it sounds like you need some sort of a knockdown. And then after that, if there's any thrips around, you can go to a softer option later in the season.
Thank you. Is there maybe a comment from somebody else or a question? Maybe Morena, we haven't heard from you. Is there maybe anything that you can add?
Hi, Andre. I just want to comment on the use of the biocontrol agents in the orchards. I think where a lot of people get it wrong is they spray in the wrong time of the day. Obviously, you want to spray late evening at night when the UV won't be a problem. You can get in the orchard like that. But we look at a more holistic approach when using your, you know, your EPFs, like your Bavaria Bassiana and your Mitterizium and Soplier. So I don't know, from what we have here in the Cape, we've had great success controlling other things like your orange dog and your other insect pests. So I think when it comes to the use of your biocontrol agents, it just comes down to your monitoring systems on the farms. You want to target the thrip populations when in the ground. So obviously get into winter application with a beneficial bacteria or your EPFs, and then later, you know, come in with a foil application, but, you know, obviously at the right time, so your monitoring systems will have to be on point with that. But yeah, like I said, we've had some great success on other insect pests, and we are looking at doing a trial here in the Cape with regards to the thrip population and the control with our biocontrol agents.
Okay. Thanks, Marina. Sorry, I was just on the phone there with Yaku. They're experiencing some problems. Anything else? If there's nothing else, maybe we can. I would think from my side, I'd just like to say thanks to everyone. Peter, do you think maybe we should make maybe put something together to see if we can, maybe with some inputs from Tim, if he doesn't mind, maybe have a suggestion of what we maybe can use this season?
Yaku, Andre, I think that's a good idea. You know, it's a difficult question, the one that Yaku had, where you ask what we can spray right now. I mean, there was a couple of suggestions, but I don't think there's a silver bullet in between them at this stage. So, I think maybe if Tim can make us a few suggestions and you can just put it on paper fast and mail it to everyone again, it might be a good start. But I think in September, when we have our research meeting, I think we have a couple of things we still need to discuss on that meeting. In the meantime, I'll talk to a few of the guys around in our area, and I'll try to get some more suggestions from them to maybe see if there's one or two other products we can have a look at during the next season to try and find a solution for this problem.
Yeah, no, thanks. I'll go through the recording of this meeting then and set up the minutes. And then, Tim, if you do agree, then I'll just contact with you, maybe get a suggestion of two from you. Then we can maybe just take it from there, if that's okay.
Andre, that'll be fine. If you give me an idea of what is registered and what people generally use, or I can comment on that. But historically in citrus, before my time, there was a lot of controversy about how you control thrips, citrus thrips. So it probably still continues. So we used to have Mal Zagala would say that there's no such thing as late thrips if you control it properly soon after a blossom. And other people would have a softer approach and try to use tartar emetic plus sugar 3 or 4 times, but the impact of the sugar on the parasites was as bad as, say, using dicazol plus sugar once. So that's always a problem that we have with it.
Thanks a lot, Tim. If there's nothing else, I think maybe then we can conclude the session. Again, thanks to everybody that participated. I really appreciate it. I think this is, like Yaku said, it was long overdue. There's a couple of things that we need to discuss. especially this being a bigger problem now that than in the past. And yeah, maybe we can get to a solution and get something that works. Last chance for anybody to say something. Otherwise, we can conclude and sign off then. I'll give you a second or two.
Yeah, I've just got a question about that feeder. As far as I know, it's not moving into much use in citrus yet, but who sells that product?
I'm not sure. Jacques, have you maybe got an answer?
I'm worried that I'll get letters from lawyers. I'm not sure if it's a Syngenta product and so on, but it's currently it's being sold by Lowveld Agrochem in Utrecht, but I'm not sure the manufacturer of the product. And I must say, I think this is probably where we are a little bit exposed when suddenly a new chemical or something comes into a farming community. And the association, like the Mango Grow Association, was not involved with the development of it. Sometimes we are exposed and we tend to believe what is brought into our area. Because, I mean, feeder for the last two seasons, it came in with a bang, and this was now the alternative to sugar. So I found, yeah, this is the reality that we are facing. So none of us has ever seen any, I doubt if any of the mango growers ever saw any research that has been done on feeder, but it's the claim to fame that this is now a better alternative to sugar.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. I'll ask somebody at Lowveld Agrochem.
Don't tell them I said it's them selling it.
No, I saw it on one person's spray program in citrus from Letzatelli, so... That was when I was first interested in what it actually was and who was selling that. But so it does seem to be around in the north. Maybe it is around down here, but I haven't heard about it yet. Thanks.
Thank you, Tim.
Jaku, have you got something else on your mind?
No, I raised the question as to what is the solution to what we need to spray, but I gather there's no silver bullet for us yet. I think it's back to the drawing boards for us, and we are glad that research project is continuing, and that we can test a lot of the products. I want to thank you, Andre. I think this was, you know, as I said earlier, this was long overdue. Maybe I think I'm leaving with more questions than answers, which is okay, because it means we can put more effort into it. But I'd like to thank all the people that attended, and especially the specialists that gave us a little bit more insight and on the insect itself.
No, thanks, Jacques. Okay, I think, yeah, that conclude our session. Again, thank you to everybody that participated. And yeah, if there's anything else or you think of something else, please contact me directly. And then I can maybe redirect or take it up with the relevant people that are in the powers that be over here at SAMGA. And yeah, thanks a lot, and have a nice day and nice weekend.
Thank you, Andre.
Thank you, Andre.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Andre.
Tot ziens allemaal. Mooi loop.
Dank je, Andre. Bye.
Tot ziens. Bye, dank je, Andre.